This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. At Saks.com, it's easy to find your new vibe. Dive into the Western trend with gold cowboy boots from Staud, or go full 90s throwback with platforms from Prada. You can shop for everything on your agenda, whether it's a breezy Zimmermann dress for a garden party or a bright Chloe blazer for brunch. Find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com.
This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
Buster Only, very active today on Twitter or X. I'll read you some of the things. The most interesting thing heard at Met Camp yesterday, and it's not surprising, given that the Scherzer contract and others will melt off their payroll next winter, is that they fully intend to take a run at Juan Soto next winter. That's one thing. Second thing, World Series pick from here, Phillies over the Yankees. Phillies are very driven after squandering a great shot last October when they were the best team. As an improved defense, a healthy Harper, an ownership free agent committed to adding whatever is needed during the season. And finally, about Snell and Montgomery, Orioles have the need for a starting pitcher, and they are projected to have a payroll of just $100 million after years of spending nothing and hoarding cash. Be a great move for the incoming ownership. So Buster active today on X, and he's going to be active right now on the Michael K. Show as our good friend joins us now. Buster, how you doing?
Ready to go with hot takes, Michael. Ready to go.
All right, let's start with the Soto stuff. So when you say they're going to make a run at Soto, does that mean that they're going to definitely outbid anybody? Or does Stearns act as some sort of a governor on Cohen that he's not giving the guy $60 million a year?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. That's going to be the big question, because obviously Cohen has the ability to step in and to blow everybody out of the water. As you know, when Yamamoto signed with the Dodgers, their offer was as big as the Dodgers' offer was. It was clear from how that played out that he wanted to play for the Dodgers. So the Mets are still, you know, big spending. The place where I'm wondering with Stearns and whether or not, you know, him being tethered to analytics is going to play out is in the Pete Alonso negotiations, because that position has not been paid. I think Soto's kind of a different discussion because of the type of hitter that he is, you know, as opposed to Pete playing in a place where the last guy to get $200 million at first base was Miguel Cabrera, you know, 8 years ago. It's a different negotiation. But I think your question is dead on, big picture, about where the Mets are going to go going forward. How much power does Stearns have? You know, how much of it is driven by Steve's money?
Now, I just want to follow up one thing. There was always this rumor, I don't think it could ever be proven, that there's like this tacit agreement between the two teams. We're not going to get yours, you're not going to get ours. They didn't even sniff for Judge, and Judge could have helped that team. Do you think that agreement exists, or has it just been dreamed up?
I would not be surprised if early in Steve's tenure that he didn't necessarily want to play hardball against everybody. He wasn't worried about, I think that he was worried, based on the conversation I've had with other owners, they perceived that he was a little bit worried about, you know, offending other owners.
Especially the Yankees, who supported getting him in.
Right. Exactly. Well, you know, Soto might be viewed as differently because he's not a homegrown guy, right? He's a one-year rental at this point for the Yankees versus Judge. I was surprised. I remember talking to you at that time saying Judge would have checked so many boxes for the Mets at that time. And, you know, considering where the bidding went, he would have been a perfect target for the Mets. But based on what I heard yesterday at Mets camp, I think they're going all in on Soto.
How is it being received how the Mets are going about business this year in 2024? Does it make Cohen look bad? Make the Mets look bad, or do people around Major League Baseball understand the plan that the next offseason is the better place to spend the money?
Well, I think that it's in keeping with how people perceive that he does business. And you guys, you know, we all got a feel for that last year when he had that press conference in early July when the season was falling apart. And he basically was saying, you know what, I'm not going to sit here and just throw money down a hole. And they pretty much made the decision in July to blow it up and to move on. he's very rational. And, you know, you guys, George Steinbrenner would have been at the other end of the spectrum. It would have been damn the torpedoes, full speed ahead, keep adding, taking on money. And the perception of Cone is he's going to listen to, he's going to follow what the numbers say. And you bring in David Stearns, who's really good with that, and he paid him a ton of money. He's the most expensive acquisition the Mets made during the course of the offseason. And so the feeling is that that it's certainly at the outset, he's going to follow what David is recommending. I would say this. I think the Alonso negotiation is going to be a case where it's going to come down to whether or not Steve steps in and says, I get it. The numbers put us at X, but, you know, Pete Alonso is a homegrown guy, and I think we should keep him. He's a power hitter, et cetera. If Alonso stays, it's going to be because of Steve Cohen.
All right, so
someone pointed this out to me. I was just going to mention, someone pointed this out to me, and I can't remember what year it was, but there was a season in which Chris Carter, playing for Stearns' Milwaukee Brewers, led the league in home runs, led the major leagues in home runs, I believe, and he was non-tendered.
Right.
And it was one of the first signs that we saw that, you know, the first base position was going to be viewed financially differently than other spots.
Here's the thing I don't understand, and this is what angers Met fans when I say this. Let's say that Steve Cohen is Sandy Koufax, and he goes to Driveline, and he hires a pitching coach that wants him to throw right-handed. So you're taking away your best weapon. Sandy Koufax is left-handed. So, I mean, let's just look at the Yamamoto thing. If Steve Cohen wanted Yamamoto so much, why not offer him $400 million? Why are you bringing in a GM that's going to counteract the thing that you have an advantage over the entire sport? Why are you bringing somebody to tie your hands? I don't get it. Are you going to throw money around or not?
It's a fair point. And I have not talked to Steve, so I can't ask him, you know, why not just blow it out of the water? You've got the money to spend. Why not just go there? And we've seen the Padres with the late Peter Seidler do that. I think the Phillies have increasingly been moving in that direction. You know, their feeling was, hey, we're going to keep Aaron Nola. We're going to keep Zach Wheeler. We're going to do whatever it takes. John Middleton's out there making it very clear that, you know, he's going to spend whatever it takes. You know, maybe last year was for Steve part of a learning curve that you don't necessarily, you can throw a ton of money at it. You can add all kinds of stars, but there's no guarantee in what's going to happen. It definitely, I just couldn't imagine that he would bring David Stearns in, pay him that kind of money. I mean, huge money, and then not listen to him. That would make no sense to me. So I think you at least have to wait for David to get started and before you start to just overrun him with money.
And the analogy I use, Buster, is just because I'm a billionaire doesn't mean I go into the market and I spend $1,000 for eggs. It does benefit Major League Baseball teams for being frugal, right? Because it does affect your international money. It does affect where you draft. He said he wanted to rebuild this farm system. So, yeah, he could throw a ton of money. And you know, Buster, better than anybody, you don't do this in a vacuum. If you throw a pitcher a ton of money that's never thrown a ball in MLB, then how much are you going to have to spend on other guys that have succeeded in Major League Baseball? I always hear general manager in every sport, I don't want to set the market. So I think sometimes it's bad business that even if you have the money, to just throw it around.
Well, and you're talking about someone who's made his, you know, has made his life making money. He's not doing that by being reckless. And, you know, maybe, and I can tell you this, there are other teams who are involved with Yamamoto who are saying, yeah, we really like him. But the most attractive thing about him was the fact that he was 25. You know, to reach free agency at that age without much mileage on his arm, that would have been a sound investment. But there's also a feeling that there's going to be a learning curve with him, that it's going to take 2 or 3 years. I've had some teams tell me they look at him as being more of a number two, number three type starter than, you know, it's not like he's coming in to just beat Gerrit Cole right away.
All right, so we've got Snell and Montgomery available. The Red Sox might not have Giolito. The Orioles have had injuries in their staff as well. It looks like, for one of the few times, Scott Boras has really misread the market. You know, his two previous free agents took opt-outs and a lot less money than they thought they were going to get. What's going to happen with these two guys?
So from what I'm hearing the last couple days, that among the teams that have been mentioned, that the preferred destination among people who know Snell, they believe it's the Angels. that and the Angels have been talking with Snell, and you know, so we'll see, you know, if does that lead to something. The Angels have been really quiet this offseason after losing Ohtani. And so at some point, if I'm sitting here guessing today, then I'm thinking he's going to wind up with the Angels. The Giants have been mentioned as well. I just don't think for the Yankees or for the Mets it makes a lot of sense, because you saw what happened with Bellinger and with Chapman. They wound up taking shorter-term deals, you know, one-year deals essentially with opt-outs. They're 3-year deals, but you can have opt outs after years one and years two. If you're a team and you're going to invest the type of money where you're going to be taxed at 110% and you're going to give up draft picks, that doesn't make a lot of sense. On the other hand, you know, the Angels can do that with the sort of taxes that the Yankees would incur. And so that to me is the team to watch on this one. With Montgomery, you know, the perception among some of his friends and teams is that his preference is to be, you know, in a smaller market like Texas, like St. Louis. I just don't know if those opportunities are there at this point. I know the Red Sox had interest in him. You guys know the connection with his wife in Boston, and you know, maybe that would make some sense, and maybe the Red Sox have some insurance on the Giolito deal. All along, I thought the Red Sox on paper made a lot of sense, but I don't know what Jordan wants. You know, does he want to go to a different team? And I, you know, the Orioles are maddening in a way because the team is amazing. Yeah, the group of young players is amazing. This is an opportunity for an owner who spent nothing and for incoming ownership to go out and to make a splash and get the sort of player they need for a team that has shortage in pitching. Their position players, tremendous, but they have a lack of depth with their starting rotation. They absolutely should be on one of these two guys. I think Montgomery would make a ton of sense for them. I just don't know if the owners would spend the money.
It's unbelievable what's going on there. It just doesn't make any sense at all. Let's move back to the Phillies for a second. And just tell me that the world has not gone upside down. Is there any way on God's green earth that the Phillies are going to give an extension to Bryce Harper, who has 8 years left on his contract? I mean, only Scott, and I like Scott, would have the audacity to ask for it. Are the Phillies going to give it to him?
I think eventually they will work something out. I think that they're going to, you know, commit another $40 million a year for an extra 4 years? No. But I know Bryce loves playing there. He made up his mind he wanted to stay with the Phillies. You know, is it some sort of an understanding that he's going to finish his career and put some numbers to it that are, you know, probably going to wind up being more modest than what people realize because at their end of his career? Yeah, I think so. We had a, you know, great conversation because we had the Mets on our broadcast yesterday with Francisco Lindor, and he noted that in the last couple of years, you're starting to see the sport, which, it, you know, contracts have gone out for guys 39, 40, 41, mostly from the Padres, you start to get the sense that the sport is retreating on age. And it's now more of a 20 to 36-year-old sport versus going into the late 30s and 40s. And the Phillies obviously would, you know, have to make some concessions to give Bryce that, you know, that extension. I don't think it would be as big of money as what he's making now.
Who potentially can be this year's Arizona Diamondbacks? And can the Mets possibly be in that conversation?
And Don, I should add one more sentence. I would say this. Among all owners right now, John Middleton is that guy. He's the guy who is cost be damned. I like the player. I like my team. I want to keep this together. So we have to remember that when we talk about whether or not Bryce gets an extension. Don, can you repeat your question?
Who can be this year's Arizona Diamondbacks? And could it be the Mets?
Yeah, so I'm in the process of doing a poll of executives around baseball on a number of various questions. And one of the questions I have is, who's the sleeper? And I'm getting back a lot of Mariners, and that's couched with, should we consider them to be a sleeper? Because they've been making the playoffs. Their pitching staff is loaded. They've made some nice additions in their lineup to fill in some of the, you know, for the offense they didn't have last year. And I'm hearing a lot about the Cincinnati Reds, who loaded up this year. You know, and on the flip side, in terms of being a team, I think the Dodgers go into this year, like the Braves, just under enormous pressure. In fact, there are a lot of teams, it feels like, that it's you got to have a great year or this thing, there are going to be major changes here. There's so much pressure on the Dodgers. You know, we haven't seen a team that's entering a season with the kind of pressure that the Dodgers have on them since those Yankee teams in, you know, 2000, 2001. And Michael will attest to this. That team, by the fourth year there in 2001 after they'd won championships, they were exhausted from that. And I do wonder if the Dodgers will be able to, you know, be able to shoulder that the entire season.
We're in the middle of the baseball update with Buster Olney, brought to you by Bet365. So you were at the Met-Yankee game at Port St. Lucie. What's the buzz among baseball people about Spencer Jones? Do they believe he's the real deal?
Oh, yeah. And I, you know, just because he went to the same school I did, I, you know, been hearing about him for years.
That's Vanderbilt for people I don't know.
Yeah, and he is such a phenomenal athlete. You know, yesterday an extra base hit, and to watch him run, it was shocking. I mean, in some respects, it's a lot like Aaron Judge. When you see him move, it surprises you someone that big can seem that athletic. You know, I mean, as time goes on, we'll see, you know, where his strike zone is, and he's able to generate the sort of coverage. There's always the concern about the strikeouts for someone who's that big and has to, you know, handle that sort of strike zone. But there is a lot of buzz about him because of his power.
So there's no way, you know, we had a caller yesterday wanting the Yankees trade him for Corbin Burns, and I don't think the Yankees will trade this kid. So Dylan Cease, I can't see them parting with a guy. This guy could be the replacement for Soto if Soto leaves.
And Stanton, right?
Yep.
Potentially that the person coming in and potentially doing what you anticipated from Stanton, 100%. They are totally jacked up about him, excited about him, and the stuff that you heard yesterday about Soto from the Yankee people about how the players all, you know, stop and watch him take batting practice and they love his regimen. I really feel like that they're getting Soto and Verdugo at the perfect time. You know, both these guys have a lot to prove. They got a ton on the line this year. And I'm hearing this from people who know both of them. They really think the presence of Judge is going to help each one of those guys. You know, in Soto, in San Diego, there's the clubhouse thing. Where is he going to hit the lineup? That seems to have completely melted away. And I think Judge has a lot to do with that. And I think with Verdugo, too, he needs a teammate who, if he has a bad day, if he doesn't run out of ball, if something, you know, if he shows up a little bit late, he needs a teammate who's going to look him in the eye and, come on, man, you do better than that. Appear and Judge is that perfect guy.
Do you think, Buster, that the Yankees made the trade for Soto? Now, Higashioka, obviously just a backup catcher, but four young pitchers, four young arms. Did they make that trade for 1 year, or do they truly expect to keep him? Because with Zach Wheeler getting $42 million a year at the age of 33, I mean, I'm sorry, yeah. Soto's going to get $50 million a year. Do they think they're going to sign him?
So Soto's contract, I believe this, because, as I say, I think the Mets are going to be involved, and I think the Yankees are going to be all in to get him. They obviously are, you know, have to be cognizant of how far they go beyond Judge because of what they paid him in the past. But he's going to wind up, I think, having a chance to surpass Ohtani's contract in terms of present-day value. The $700 million, you know, figure with Ohtani, of course, is a joke. It's a mirage. His actual present-day value is $461 million.
Right.
And Soto has a chance to be at that number, I think, with these two teams involved, 100%. And it's up to him to have a big year. You know, I've told you guys before, when he started in San Diego, he started slowly. He wasn't completely comfortable. He acknowledged that as time went on. So he's already got that scar tissue. He already knows what that's like. I think he's absolutely poised for a huge year if he can stay healthy.
But the thing, Michael, with the idea of trading for him, believing you're going to have him long term, guys, wouldn't that have been a mistake? You know he's going to test free agency.
Well, maybe they're just intent on outbidding everyone.
But if that were the case, wouldn't it have been better to not give up anything, ride through this year, and then you could outbid everybody when he becomes a free agent?
But I think following 82 and 80, this became a very important year to win.
Yep, 100%. Totally agree with you, Michael.
So if
totally agree.
If that's the case,
they
then
had,
I'm sorry, Aaron. Buster, go ahead. Because I want to ask about
they
Aaron.
They had to be all in. They had to make substantive changes, and they needed a left-handed hitter, obviously, and that guy is built for the ballpark.
So how much pressure is on Boone to win this year?
It almost speaks for itself, right? And what's interesting is it's not only Aaron Boone that it feels like that this year's a huge year. Last year of his contract. It's also last year Dave Roberts' contract. The last year of Alex Cora's contract. There's going to be so much managerial shakeup by the end of the year. I think it's going to shock you guys. Scotty Marmol, the manager of the Cardinals. Skip Schumacher, who's regarded as this great up-and-coming manager with the Marlins last year of his contract. I think there are a lot of guys under pressure.
Have you covered the Blue Jays yet in person?
I have not seen them in person this spring.
Because you're the guy that would have the guts to ask Mattingly, what are you doing with that beard?
Yeah, but you've known him forever. Why don't you text him and ask him?
Yeah, I guess I could. I don't want to hurt his feelings, you know?
Well, who are you to talk right now?
Yeah, I have a beard, Buster, because I lost a bet. He didn't lose a bet. He looks like he's 70 instead of like 63.
Remember when Letterman, you know, his show wrapped up, and the next time he saw him, he had that huge beard.
And I wonder about that, too.
It's shocking.
Yeah, I wonder about
totally
that.
It's shocking.
Yep. So you have the Yankees and the Phillies in the World Series. Phillies winning, right?
Yes.
That would be fun. Repeat of 2009, yeah. I love it.
And the Yankees, as you guys know, you know, there's a lot of betting odds for them. It's surprising to me how low the Phillies are among favorites. This was a team that middle of October last year, they were the best team in baseball, and I think that regret over what happened is part of what drives them this year.
Great stuff, Buster. We'll talk to you soon. Thank you so much.
See you guys.
That's the Baseball Update brought to you by Bet365. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365.
I don't think Mattingly's beard's that bad.
First of all, he's an incredibly handsome guy. He's covering up that face. Me covering up my face, who cares?
Good idea. No, but I just don't think it makes him look that old. I have to tell you, though, and I think it's probably projecting, I do have a pet peeve of guys in my age range.
Right.
Growing out these big gray beards. It's like such a thing right now.
Well, I first of all, look at Tony Clark, the head of the Players Association. I don't get it. Please call that up. It's such a weird look. And to this moment, he's never really explained it. Why would Letterman grow that beard? Does he think he's anonymous? He's not anonymous. You still know it's David Letterman.
How old is Tony Clark?
Tony Clark has got to be in his 50s.
Yeah, I don't know why people do it. Like, it's a trendy thing now, and I know we should all like be proud of
like Jock Vaughn. Why?
Yeah, I hate it. I hate like in the case of a Don, where everything went white, it works.
It's like with Mattingly's beard.
And by the way, that's why I don't hate Mattingly's.
Yeah, Mattingly's nice.
But when you either have no hair and you're young, or you have a head of hair and it's not gray, but the beard grows in completely gray, maybe I'm self-hating on my aging. I hate it. I despise it. And when people are having like, they're doing the beard,
right,
but just here in the chin, they're getting two big, huge skunk spots.
Yeah.
But there's nothing wrong with some dye. Keep it dark. I haven't used it yet, but believe me, I will.
I'm thinking of going darker with mine, should I?
Why not?
Because it would look weird, because my hair is not that dark.
Well, it depends how dark. If you go black, if you know.
No, I go brown, the color of my hair.
I think it'll look nice. I don't know how you
could.
How hard is it to do? You just use a brush or something?
Easy. Just for men, baby.
By the way, we could all do it if Just for Men will give us a nice sponsorship.
Your hair is black.
I'm going to need it, though. I'm getting a little... When I put the glasses on yesterday, I saw a bunch of hairs.
I've got a question to ask you about the glasses, and it might offend you, but I'll do that when we get back.
Go ahead.
No, I'll do it when we get back, because I think it's a really... Don't take your headphones off when you have work to do. Don't even think about it.
Oh.
Don't even think about it.
Oh. Yeah, get to work.
And put your glasses on, too, so you can read.
Well, you know what? You're right.
Got to tell us about BetterHelp. And nobody does this better than you.
Well, Michael... This message is brought to you by our friends over at BetterHelp. What is the first thing you would do if you had an extra hour in your day? Would you exercise? Would you nap? Spend time with friends or family? A lot of times we spend our days wishing we had more time, but the question is, if you got the time, how would you use it? You need to know what's important to you, and therapy can help you identify what matters most so you can do more of it. I've certainly benefited from therapy throughout my life. It's been incredibly helpful during the best and worst of times. If you're looking to work on positive coping skills, setting boundaries, therapy can empower you to be the best version of yourself. So if you've been thinking about starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient. It's flexible. It's suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/Peter today to get 10% off your first month. You catch that? BetterHelp. Better BetterHelp.com/Peter today.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network. Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, so here's the thing that could put Peter over the edge, but something what I was thinking of, and I think it's something he has to answer. Peter, now that you have these new glasses, right, and you can see better, and you know where things are, and you can see things with clarity that you never saw before.
I do have to say, I think I may need new glasses for these lights, though. It's a lot.
Will you wear those glasses during moments of intimacy?
See, well, what is... Who does that?
Well, if you can't right. see otherwise, no. You got to know where everything is.
That's a great point by Michael. I think it's a kind of cross the bridge situation.
Really?
Yeah. Nobody wears...
That's not true.
How do you know?
Of course people wear glasses during intimacy.
But when you base everything on porn...
No. If you're blind as a bat, you've got to wear glasses.
But the whole fun is to feel your way around.
Oh. I hear you, but if you're wearing...
you're not doing it.
What if you're already wearing them? You have to take them off? Why would you take them off?
Do people take their contacts out during these things?
Yes.
They do?
They take contacts out during...
Yeah, I think it's because you're going to bed.
You're out of your mind.
Yeah, but what if it's out of bedtime, Don?
You guys don't know what you're doing. You have no game. You think you do, but you don't.
Well, no. You in this case, you just said you made it sound like the only option is when you're going to bed on your birthday. What about another time?
Come on. What are you wearing glasses for? What are you studying it?
But don't you want to see her face?
Do a three-page
if she's
paper
unhappy?
Right after?
You want to see like a look of discouragement?
We clearly go about things differently.
I think if you're wearing
touch, feel, taste, there's a lot of things that go into it. You want your eyes? What do you open your eyes during the whole thing?
My eyes are always open. Always.
Then you're a freakazoid. That's worse than sleeping with your eyes open.
You have to have your eyes open.
Have it lit. Have people come in. Have Yes come in and light the bedroom up.
You know what? The lights are always on.
You're just a freak, honestly. You are absolutely...
I can't even say against Billy Joel's song. I did not turn
off the lights.
I don't turn the lights on.
Are you saying that in every like makeout you've ever had,
lights on,
your eyes are wide open?
Always.
In all seriousness.
Yes. I'm being totally serious.
What's the matter with you?
I like to see things. Yeah, I like to see the world.
That is so off-putting.
Why is it really off-putting?
That really would be. If I opened my eyes mid-makeout and the girl was just staring at me, eyes wide open, I'd go, oh.
No, I'm not necessarily staring, but my eyes are open.
The whole
I want to take in all the senses.
I don't believe that's I don't know if that's true.
You know what? We'll get of my ex-girlfriends on the air, and they'll tell you eyes always
right,
open.
And they'll say that it freaked them out. And it was disconcerting.
Yeah, and in retrospect, what was I thinking?
Right.
This is by the way, this is what some local writers should be running with this on the weekend.
Yeah, this is content.
Oh, this is scary stuff to think
and
about.
It's
what
sick.
If Phil runs with this? This is something Phil wouldn't like.
Oh, well, talking about making out.
Yeah.
Don, I like what you said there. You implied that no one reads.
You do got... Dude, man, I don't know what to say. You're a freak.
No, he's a weird dude, man. There's a lot of weird stuff happening around here. We got Winthrop who thinks Do the Right Thing is a comedy. You got Michael... You got Winthrop who also says, I don't like comedies. You got Michael who's making out with his eyes open every single time, the whole time.
Don't cheapen it. It's more than just making out. The eyes are always open.
It's such a bad look.
It's not. It's a terrific
look. No.
First of all, I have nice blue eyes. Why wouldn't you
want to
see
it? No, but in terms of how it sounds to other people.
And I have Klieg lights on, too. I love Klieg lights in the
bedroom. I don't know what a Klieg light is.
You know those things during big openings?
Wow.
Yeah.
Fox searchlight.
Yeah. Fox searchlight. Yeah.
Wow.
You're just a... You are a freak.
So 22 years in, you're learning new.
Listen, there's a lot of things that we can't say.
But you know what?
That I'd win the argument about you being
a freak. You're just a freak.
But that was probably, believe it or not, Peter, this might be the most disturbing.
Believe me, we have this forever now.
You're just a freak. So I guess because you just want to be all in, you'd have the reading glasses on. So your eyes are wide open
with the glasses.
Reading glasses on.
Because I can see from if I have to read words, I need the glass. But no, I don't have glasses on, Dora. But if I had to, I would. I'd have Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like if he needed goggles, right? If he needed glasses, and he's going to work. He would probably have to wear the Kareems because he doesn't want to have them fly off.
Can I? Right. Let's listen. You're more than welcome to talk about anything on the show. Call in. The first thing I'm going to ask you during those moments: are your eyes open? That's all. Let's start with Danny in Long Island. What do you think Danny's going to say?
Danny's going to think you're an absolute freak.
All right. Let's see. Danny, eyes open or closed?
First of all, if you're about to do something, and the female person you're with has to put on her glasses because she can't see it. You have problems bigger than vision. If she needs to say, wait a second, I can't see that clearly.
And if she needs the Klieg lights, it's even worse.
Yeah, I can't see that clear enough. I may need binoculars. You got issues. I wear reading glasses. The glasses are off. The eyes are closed. Absolutely.
Oh, damn. Because you're not a deviant.
First of all, if you're making out with somebody, and I open my eyes, what am I seeing? Her eyebrow? Like I need to have my eye open to see inside.
Well, you know what, Danny? Can we give Danny point guard? Danny, let me tell you why Danny gave you the point guard. And Don, I don't think you were being specific enough. Throughout all of the events, your eyes are mostly open. But specifically when you're there for making out, your eyes go to closed. That's what you're saying. There's plenty of things to see, obviously, but your eyes stay open throughout each makeout? That's the weird part.
I also happen to have an interesting would you and a list for Don.
All right, go ahead.
Here's the would you to my sportscasters. You're stuck on the overnight for the rest of your career, but you make twice as much money as you're making now. You get to see every one of your children's events for the rest of their lives, but no more play-by-play. This crew now goes to the overnight. You get paid twice as much as you're making now.
No.
You get to see every class play baseball game, hockey game, but you can't do play-by-play.
I'm in for the overnight.
I'm in for the overnight, too.
I'm out.
Okay.
Because he doesn't have a child. When you have Guadalupe, it's going to change.
I'm telling you, the one thing, and Danny, I'll let you finish. The one I love working and so proud to be on this show and on the afternoon drive, how significant that is. The one awful thing is I'm going to miss a ton of Marco and Jalen events that happen right after school, games during the week.
So
I'm going to miss out on a lot.
I know,
one thing I'm very envious of, Danny, it sounds like you get to go and see your sons play ball, and that's a major part of your life. And it was important for my dad to see me play. So it'd be a tough sacrifice, but
if you did the overnight, you'd be around to do more, but you'd also be a zombie a lot.
No, this would be right.
Well,
my
I used to arrive home at 8 o'clock.
When did you last do this? When did you last do this? The crazy hours. You always, Don, Michael. Have you ever noticed Don always says he's I'm up for early mornings, overnights. When was the last time you really did this? Because it is gut wrenching, and you're older.
I loved overnights.
When you were how old?
Oh, I was my late 20s when I was doing overnights at the Fan. And I'd get home at 6:30, 7 o'clock, and I'd sleep until 1, 2 o'clock in the afternoon. I had the whole day free. I loved it. Loved it. Loved
okay,
it.
Okay, here's a list, Don. Ready?
Yes.
During my Richard Lewis morning, I was reading an article, and a 1972 New York Daily News article announced these five people as the up-and-coming comics. First of all, the guy who wrote the article talked about nailing it. Richard Lewis, Richard Pryor, Robert Klein, Andy Kaufman, and George Carlin, no relation to Chris Carlin. Make my list 1 to 5.
Well, real quick, when did he write this?
1972.
1972 or
something. He did quite well.
Well, Pryor would have to be one.
Pryor's, no, I would have Carlin one.
No.
Carlin one, Pryor two.
I reverse.
Lewis three, Kaufman four, and...
Who's the
Robert
one?
Klein five
Robert would be Robert Klein. I think you're giving him a little.
Klein's a distant fifth.
No, but Klein was.
They're great.
He's great, right, but in terms great. Of the names and impact, he's five. I'm sorry.
He also did his comedy with his eyes closed.
Is that true?
You know what, Danny? I'm hanging up on you. Bye.
Thinking, you know, some of these things with your eyes open, like sneezing with your eyes open. You don't want your eyes to pop out of your head.
Well, right. What is the name of? Really? What's the name of the movie? Eyes Wide Shut.
Well, it's a freak. The movie's a freak show. Did you just ever see the movie?
Yeah.
The movie's a freak show because you're a freak show.
I'm not a freak show. I'm very normal. Let's see JJ from North Carolina. He's right. Have some bad take, but he's 22.
He's got a woman tied up in the bedroom.
JJ, eyes open or closed?
Absolutely disgusting, Michael. What is wrong with you?
So your eyes are closed?
Eyes open. I mean, Dan, yeah. What are you need the lights on? I mean, poor Jody. This is unbelievable. I mean,
no, this is all pre-marriage, okay? Anything I'm talking about is pre-marriage.
Yeah, post-marriage you started closing your eyes?
No, they're still open, but I'm not talking about Jody.
Just because out of respect.
Right.
Right. Got it.
Definitely eyes closed. You got to go.
You know what? You don't know what you're missing. You frankly don't know what you're missing.
William, what am I missing? Her forehead? The acne on her forehead?
First of all, you guys are taking literally the making out like you're just kissing. I'm saying throughout anything, the eyes have to be open.
But that,
because so you could see everything.
Well, but I agree with you. I'm talking specifically about making out.
No, no, I was talking about any intimacy. I'm not just talking about making out. I mean everything.
No, but like there's so many different things you could be doing where there's distance and thus it's normal to have your eyes open. But when the distance is completely closed,
still open,
face to face, that's JJ. When it's weird.
What else do you have, JJ?
I'm so off track now. What was I going to say?
The
Yankees. Sorry, the Yankees, because we know you love to take calls about the Yankees.
I do love. With my eyes open, I take them.
Exactly. With three, I think, big X factors here, whether they can make the playoffs or...
JJ's discombobulated right now.
He can't even pull back together.
He can't even pull it together.
Because I'm so disgusted by your, like...
No,
your
because you know what? I guarantee the next time, if it happens in the next couple of months, your eyes are going to be wide open. But please, go, JJ.
I think Rodon has to be great. If Rodon being the second starter turns into, completely injured and just can't throw the ball... I mean, today, three earned runs again. I don't want to get all upset, but... If he turns out to be a bust, this team might be bad. If LeMahieu turns back into the 2019 version, I think this could be, typical leadoff guy, him, Judge, and then Soto. Him getting on base all the time for those two guys would be amazing. And then I think Nestor, again, if Nestor turns into his all-star form, then you can have a top-of-the-line rotation with him, Rodon maybe, and then Marcus Stroman being the altering piece. And but if Nestor goes down again, then who knows?
Well, I made a list about a month ago. The key for me is Rodon. He had another bad game today, coming off that bad BP. Doesn't matter to me. Tell me what happens in Houston that first week. Number two is Cortez. They need Cortez to be the all-star that he was 2 years ago. DJ LeMay is important, you know, because the whole lineup spills from there if he's leading off. He doesn't have to be 2019 LeMay, just the second half of last year. Get on base about 38% of the time, we're good to go. But the pitchers are the most important. The pitchers are the most important.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. At Saks.com, it's easy to find your new vibe. Dive into the Western trend with gold cowboy boots from Staud, or go full 90s throwback with platforms from Prada. You can shop for everything on your agenda, whether it's a breezy Zimmermann dress for a garden party or a bright Chloe blazer for brunch. Find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
Guess we're not familiar with it yet.
No, it takes time. It's new.
You don't know the song?
I've only heard it a couple of times.
It's a wonderful song.
No, I agree.
The video is unbelievable.
You told me.
Oh, okay.
You told all of us.
I want to get Don and Peter's read on this, whether I'm getting soft. So,
excuse me?
My credit card information was stolen.
Oh, no.
So they rang up about $4,000.
Wow.
In, you know, Fugazi charges.
I hate to hear this.
So one of the charges was like $2,000 for a jewelry place. Another one was $250 for a high-end steakhouse.
Okay.
Then another one was like a couple of $100 for WeatherTech. You know, they make mats for cars.
Oh, yeah. Very familiar.
And then like $900 was for women clothing. And then another $200 was...
200 bones, as the kids say.
Was for a ShopRite.
A ShopRite.
And I you know, I'm talking to the fraud people, and I almost want to let them have the... I mean, if they stole the credit card for food for their family, let them have it. But the other stuff, I want.
I don't think it works that way.
Oh, if I could say, I'll take the responsibility for that.
Classy by you. Classy by you.
Because I mean, if somebody's that desperate to feed their family, then you could have my $200. But the $2,000 for jewelry, I'd like to have your legs cut off.
Yeah, did you really? But, well, maybe they were going to sell the jewelry to buy more food for their family.
Oh, that's a good point.
Wow. It's thoughts like that that make me the goat. You know what I mean?
I've never had a credit card information stolen. It's very violating.
Everyone's got to be paying attention, man. The people are active these days.
Let's go to Steve in the car. Steve.
How you doing, Michael? How are you?
Great. How you doing, Steve?
Good, good. Listen, I listen to you guys every day on the way home to Long Island.
Thank you.
You commented the other day about one of the worst trades Cashman made was taking on Donaldson's $50 million contract instead of just releasing Sanchez.
Right.
Another trade I think is right up there is when they traded Montgomery for Bader, and Bader was in a boot and was hurt. Now, Montgomery at the time, I believe, was like 3-1, maybe had a 3 ERA. What about that trade? Do you think the Yankees regret that since they're always looking for pitching?
I'll tell you why. I think they would make that trade 100 times out of 100 times. They don't get past they don't get past Cleveland. I mean, Bader hit 5 home runs. And they've never been... pitching's not been their problem. Yankee fans seem to have that issue that pitching's the problem, that they don't get ahead. No, it's not pitching. It's their hitting that goes south in the postseason. So they replaced Montgomery. Now, Montgomery turned out to be a player that, you know, ended up helping the Texas Rangers win a World Series. But anybody can have him right now. Nobody's bidding on him. So, yeah, they make that trade 100 times out of 100 times because eventually Bader got out of the boot, and they don't get past Cleveland and go to the ALCS without Bader. Yeah, they make that trade over and over. That's not one of his worst deals. Let's go to what are you laughing about?
Someone posted a picture, a very unfortunate picture that was taken at one of our events recently. And I'll show it to you. And they wrote, "It's true. Michael keeps his eyes open. Don likes them closed," and sent this picture.
That's terrible.
No. Don't show that to
Don,
the
you remember this photo, don't you?
I do. Jeremy in Connecticut. Jeremy.
Hey, guys. How are you doing?
Good. How are you? Thank
you. Watch you guys every day.
Thank you.
I got a couple things to say. I have the eyes open sort of thing. I just have to tell Michael, if you have to have your eyes open and know if she's having a good time, you're not doing it right.
Oh, you know what?
No, my God. Jeremy, how could you, if you have your eyes closed, how could you see the good times?
You hear the good times.
How can I see the good times?
Yeah.
I don't need to see it. I'm hearing it. I'm feeling it.
You're doing it right.
You know what you're doing. Visual is very important to me, but please go on, Jeremy.
Was it like confirmation of the kill? I mean, what do you, I don't.
Exactly. Please, Jeremy, go on.
I have a would you for Don, actually. I have a would you. Would he rather spend a whole weekend watching every stroke of a golf tournament or spend the equal amount of time watching on an endless loop a video of Nancy being intimate with all her ex-partners?
I mean, come on. He doesn't hate golf that much.
I think he does. Let's let him answer.
All right, here we go. I would be consuming the golf. I mean, how could you?
Although Don and Nancy have been together some long, it probably wouldn't take that long. It'd be a much shorter time.
But some long, what is that? Like something like an order at a Chinese restaurant?
Oh, my God. What's happening here?
A very old school Chinese.
What is happening here?
Yeah, you get that with the...
This is a Friday show.
It wouldn't be that long.
Spring training isn't just for baseball players. It's time for you to get into shape and ready for the warmer weather. For over a decade, NJ Diet has helped thousands of people lose a contractually guaranteed 20 to 40 plus pounds in only 40 days. That's nearly twice as fast as weight loss injections and without any of those nasty side effects. NJ Diet uses your hair and saliva along with scans to personalize natural solutions and supplements to get you to shed that fat quickly. Then NJ Diet uses your DNA info to help keep the weight off. You're fully supervised the entire time to make sure you're burning fat, not just losing water, and you even get Dr. T's personal email and phone number. Locations close by or available from home with live online consultations. Call 855-5NJ-DIET, 855-5NJ-DIET, or schedule your consult today at njdiet.com. Get ready for spring with njdiet.com.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.